Upheaval. Breaking Point. Chapter 14. Ends and Means. The Wolven were still feasting when morning found them in Fangbreaker Fortress. Some of them were picking away at the remains of the slain ponies. A few were snoring languidly, their bloodlust temporarily sated by the carnage of the previous battle. The main courtyard of the once-hated fortress was covered in gnawed bones and burned-out bonfires. They had smeared the walls with triumphant boasting in their own language, using pony blood as a crude paint. Not every Wolven was complacent in victory, however. Small packs of warriors already patrolled the walls, and sentries were placed along the entrances. Squads of Wolven stalked the halls of the fortress, hunting for ponies who had hidden themselves. Some of the berserkers, still in the throes of their battle rage, were attacking each other. The white-furred Bracuri, the biggest and strongest of their kin, were content to sit by and watch in amusement. Hazrock watched all of this from the ruined, still-smoking remains of the innermost gate, where some Wolven were crudely putting together some form of barricade. He and his pack were among the first to charge in when the gates fell apart, while he himself killed four of the accursed Thunderfoots. Their tails now adorned his belt as newly taken trophies. Despite his role in the battle, it had fallen to his pack to begin repairs on the fortress, while his bigger, stronger kin wallowed in celebration. The Wolven army may despise Fangbreaker Fortress and everything it stood for, but they were certainly not going to waste it.
"Do you still doubt my visions now, Hazrock?"
Regeskra sneered as she walked past him.
"Fangbreaker is ours thanks to Moonshadow's return, as I have predicted."
"You rely on dreams and the Thunderfoots,"
Hazrock snarled.
"Cursed Equestria will fall by Wolven Fang and Claw, not through that thing on top of the fort."
He could not help but look at the figure watching them from above. Right now, the strangest sight in Fangbreaker Fortress was one of the hated Thunderfoots. At least, Hazrock believed it was a Thunderfoot. It was difficult to tell. The thing was surrounded by a thick bank of black smoke. At the center of the haze was the vague figure of a Thunderfoot, ablaze with flames so black that they stood out against the cloud. A pair of red eyes stared out of the figure in a fiery glare that no Wolven met without quailing. None of them dared to approach the thing, even though they knew it was responsible for bringing about the downfall of the fortress that had stymied their assaults for centuries. The Wolven knew Moonshadow only as their king's enigmatic companion. The few who had an interest in lore also knew that Moonshadow had been trapped on the moon by cursed Celestia for 1,000 years after a failed attempt to turn Fair Luna against her sister. Her return heralded what they believed to be their greatest attack upon cursed Equestria, the turning point of a frustrating war that had lasted for centuries. Not even the most knowledgeable Wolven lorekeeper, however, could explain the presence of the brown-coated Thunderfoot, who stood just outside the smoking presence of Moonshadow's latest appearance. When the gates were blasted open, he was standing by Moonshadow's side, completely uncaring while the Wolven swamped around him and attacked his fellow Thunderfoots. The Wolven who lunged at him were enveloped in smoke, which left nothing of them but ash. Since that incident, the Wolven had decided that the brown Thunderfoot must be Moonshadow's personal slave, and they left him alone. After all, they had a fortress to prepare. King Fenrir himself was coming to see his army's handiwork. From her perch, Pyre Valor watched the Wolven in growing disgust as they continued to defile Fangbreaker Fortress with their decorations. Her disgust quickly fed her rage, and that rage caused the blackened flames that now bathed her body to burn even fiercer. She felt a sudden urge to dive down upon those filthy Wolven and incinerate every last one of them, and then burn away everything they dared to smear on the walls.
"My, my. Bloodthirsty, are we?"
"I would rather drink pony piss than have anything to do with this Wolven blood,"
Pyre told her mental passenger. She knew, however, that Nightmare Moon was doing much more than just residing inside her. This was not what she had originally planned. She was supposed to be dead by now, slain as a defender of Fangbreaker Fortress, as payment for what she had to ask of the Legion. Instead, she had all but allied herself with Wolvengard, merging with one of its strongest allies. Everything may just come to pass as Vanguard predicted. With a foothold into Equestria, the Wolven could very well spread across all of the Northern Front. Ponies will die by the hundreds. No, by the thousands. Still, she had welcomed the gamble as surely as she had welcomed Nightmare Moon within her. Despite the deaths and the coming desperate battles, the Equestrian Legion will overcome this, and as they do so, Celestia and the Heartland will hear her. Nevertheless, it seemed that the only thing she could count on was Blademane's constant loyalty. She wondered what he was thinking at the moment, standing next to a cloud of smoke and the monster she had become. She had to admit that she was surprised that he was willing to go this far for her.
I'm a little surprised myself, Pyre Valor. I knew you were strong, but even I didn't expect this much power from our unity. Look at what we've accomplished, and all this while I mask my presence from that wretch, Tirado.
Is that supposed to be a compliment? We're not friends, Nightmare Moon. We're using each other, and nothing more.
That's no reason for me not to speak the truth. Princess Luna possesses far more magical power than you, but her hesitation and love for her family outweighed the strength of her envy. I could barely access a fraction of her magic. My weak unity with her let us fall victim to Celestia's wretched elements of harmony. But you, your rage and determination are a beauty to behold. Our unity would be the stuff of legend for Pony and Woven alike.
Rage and determination, is it? Pyre Valor thought. She remembered Vanguard's smoking body, where she left it on the plane for the Woven to find. She had hesitated with that fireball, and she knew it. The spell barely damaged his armor, and likely let him live. She didn't even have the guts to finish him off, even though she knew that he was going to do everything to stop her. Instead, she turned her back, and hoped that the Woven would find him, and do the job for her. So much for rage and determination.
Undermine yourself if you must. You still struck him down. You have cast aside even full-hood friendship for this, and, now that Vanguard Clash is dead, there is no pony holding you back.
I will not hear that name from you, Nightmare Moon, Pyre thought angrily.
Touching. You're trying to show some semblance of respect for a fallen friend. But why bother? You trusted him, and he spat on your face. He cast aside your friendship first by choosing to put his life on the line for some worthless chosen that he met for a day, instead of for the cause you so strongly believe in.
That chosen, Pyre thought. She tried to remember the purple unicorn's name. What was it again? Night Sparkle? It didn't matter. The purple unicorn was merely a symbol for everything Pyre despised about the chosen. She remembered their attack on that Woven camp, and the chosen's hesitation to kill a Woven that was going to tear her entrails out and feast upon them if it got the chance. That was all chosen were. Weak, spoiled foals of Celestia. They didn't deserve protection. They deserved to be pushed into the front lines. Let the cowards and the weak be destroyed, lest they pass both traits on through blood.
Is that a touch of bigotry? You're a pony after my own heart, Pyre Valor.
Enough of this meaningless conversation. We have a war to fail.
We'll get to that soon enough. Enjoy the last gasps of the Legion. You'll have an eternity of remembering its downfall and your part in it, afterwards.
Throughout its long history, few things have ever caused uproar within the Royal Palace. As the home of Equestria's rulers, it has served as a symbol of harmony for generations of Equestria's inhabitants. It took but a single announcement from Princess Celestia to cause yet another one. The normally peaceful palace turned into a bustling hub of activity when it was announced that Twilight Sparkle and her friends had been banished to an undisclosed location for committing an unspeakable crime. Curiously enough, it wasn't even Princess Celestia who made the announcement, but an appointed pony. No pony had seen the princess leave her room since Twilight Sparkle had arrived asking for a private audience. The royal guard suddenly found themselves swamped by an influx of inquiries by concerned and curious ponies. Only hours later, ponies asking for an audience started to pour in. The palace found itself crowded with the guards struggling to maintain a sense of order. Amidst the confused crowd, Princess Luna strode through the halls of the royal palace with purpose. She cut through the royal guards so swiftly that many of them failed to bow respectfully. She barely noticed them. All her thoughts were focused on finding and talking to her sister. Princess Celestia's room lay at the top of the royal palace's highest tower, where she could enjoy a magnificent view of her realm. Outside her door, a pair of royal guards stood watch. When they saw Luna approaching, one of them ventured to come forward and speak. "Your Highness, Princess Celestia has asked that—"
"Move aside," Luna said quietly.
A look from her caused the guards to immediately step aside, with their heads bowed respectfully. The doors were locked, and the locks were reinforced with magic. Luna's horn flashed deep purple momentarily as she smashed them aside. The doors flew open, and she strode in before they slammed shut behind her.
"Big sister."
Even Luna was taken back at the sight of her sister. Celestia lay on her bed, her face completely dejected. Her colorful flowing mane was still and limp around her. Her crown had fallen off and lay forlornly on the floor while she stared off emptily ahead of her.
"Leave me," Celestia said softly.
"Not until I get some answers," Luna replied. The atmosphere within the room suddenly grew heavy and ominous. Celestia's gaze focused on Luna. For a moment, she considered backing off until her sister's mood lightened. Celestia wasn't angry. Not yet. This was merely a warning, a prelude to something that even she had never seen. Then she remembered why she was here in the first place, and she matched Celestia's gaze with her own.
"Why have you done this, Big Sister?" she asked. "Twilight Sparkle is your student. She and her friends bear the elements of harmony."
"They left me no choice," Celestia answered. "I didn't want this."
"You do have a choice. End this division, Big Sister. Bring them back from the Barrier Lands before it's too late."
"I will do no such thing,"
Celestia raised her voice slightly.
"Without the Heartland, all of Ponykind will collapse upon itself. You agreed to this, Luna. Both you and Tirado understood that this had to be done."
"I agreed because Big Brother agreed, and he agreed because he'll agree to anything you say. I cannot stay silent anymore, Big Sister. Things have gone too far. Even your student believes this division is wrong. Isn't that why she refused to submit to another memory lock?"
The pained look on Celestia's face quickly reminded Luna of how unwelcome the subject was to her sister. Still, she couldn't afford to relent. There was a lot of pain in the future, especially if circumstances were allowed to continue as they were.
"Twilight Sparkle said the things she said because she hasn't seen what I have," Celestia finally replied. "When she sees for herself what the Legion is subjected to, she will come to realize that what I have done is necessary."
A glimmer of hope seemed to flicker within her eyes.
"When that time comes, I will ask her and her friends to come back, and they will all agree."
"Don't be..." Luna began to say. Before she could finish, however, the room was suddenly filled with arcs of magical energy. Energy that, they both realized, came from their brother. Sure enough, Prince Tirado's image materialized in the middle of the room.
"This is not a good time, Tirado," Celestia said.
"Good," Tirado retorted. "I'd hate to ruin a good time. It looks like your mood is appropriately sour."
"Has something happened, Big Brother?" Luna asked in concern.
"The Wolven have just captured Fangbreaker Fortress,"
Tirado replied. Though he acknowledged the question, his focus was entirely on Celestia.
"If something isn't done soon, they will make their way to Bastion City, and then spread across the Northern Front."
Celestia's eyes widened in horror.
"Is there anywhere in the Barrier Lands you wish to go? Fangbreaker Fortress." "Twilight Sparkle!" Celestia blurted out. "Is she safe, Tirado?"
A look of confusion spread across Tirado's face. A moment later, his eyes widened in realization.
"Those ponies you sent over the barrier," he said. "Twilight Sparkle was one of them, and you sent them to Fangbreaker."
"Is she safe, Tirado?"
Celestia asked again, more urgently this time.
"Are they all safe? I sent 6 ponies to Fangbreaker Fortress."
"I'll have to check,"
Tirado said darkly.
"Hundreds of Legionnaires just died, Celestia. I'll sort through them to see if your 6 has survived or not."
Celestia didn't seem to hear Tirado. Her breathing quickened in her panic as the situation continued to dawn upon her.
I just sent them to their deaths," she breathed.
"Why did they have to choose this fate?" she wailed.
"We don't know that yet,"
Tirado said.
"We must discuss other things. I've sent reinforcements to help with the Northern Crisis, but Fangbreaker's sudden fall was not part of the plan. It may be too late at this rate."
When Celestia didn't respond, Luna decided to step in.
"What must be done, Big Brother?" she asked.
"Let my Legionnaires pass through the Heartland, so they can arrive quicker,"
Tirado replied. He continued to act as if it was Celestia who was talking. Luna turned towards her sister, who appeared to wither and age on the spot.
"And what will you have me say to my ponies when they see your army move among them?"
Celestia finally asked.
"Tell them it's Equestria's first stay-at-home-and-close-your-eyes day,"
Tirado snapped.
"I don't care. The North is in danger, Celestia. If we don't act now, it will take decades to root the Wolven out."
Luna turned pleadingly towards her elder sister.
"Big Sister, please," she said. "We have to do something."
Under the weight of her sibling's stares, Celestia appeared to diminish. Her hooves shook as she remained silent for a minute.
"Has everything conspired to ruin what I've tried to protect?" she whispered.
Both Tirado and Luna remained quiet as they listened. Celestia turned her gaze on Tirado, her eyes defiant.
"No. Now more than ever, with the sacrifices I've made to protect Equestria, I cannot let this war taint all Ponykind. The Heartland will remain unsullied by the presence of war, whether from your Legionnaires or the Wolven. The North will stand strong, no matter the crisis. You are my defender, Torado. I believe in your ability to do all of this without sacrificing what the Heartland stands for. Under Celestia's stare, Torado's face twisted in indecision. He had more to say, but couldn't find the words to say them. Luna looked pleadingly at her brother.
Send your ponies through, she told him wordlessly. You can end this, Big Brother. For the North's sake, for all of Equestria's sake, the division must end.
Finally, Torado did speak.
I am your defender,
he said softly. Luna could only look away in disappointment.
I will stop anything that will harm what you cherish, dearest sister. But you have dictated this cost.
Torado's image dematerialized, leaving Luna alone with her sister.
You have your answers, Luna, Celestia said. Now leave me.
I will go then, Luna said in resignation. There is nothing more to be done here. She turned around and headed for the doors. Celestia paused, realizing what her sister's words might mean. She looked up in time, just as Luna was about to open the doors.
Where are you going?
She asked.
To the barrier lands, Luna answered. Our brother needs help. Since you won't raise a hoof to help him, I will go instead.
Even as she spoke those words, Luna was unsure of what exactly she could do. Throughout his conversation with their sister, Torado didn't as much as look at her. He called Celestia his dearest sister, and what those words implied was not lost on her.
The barrier lands are no place for a princess of Equestria, Celestia said in shock. I forbid you to go. And what will you do if I go anyway, big sister?
Luna retorted sharply.
Will you banish me to the barrier lands too? Will you throw every pony who displeases you to our brother's realm? Or will you banish me to the moon once more?
Luna was about to open the doors when she stopped momentarily and looked at her sister.
But you can't do that, she said softly. It took you the elements of harmony to do that, and they are no longer here. You have sent them into danger, and, for their sake, I will defy even you.
With that, Luna left her sister's room. As she made her way through the halls of the royal palace, however, she was stopped by a large group of ponies.
Princess Luna!
One of the ponies, a red stallion with a green apple on his flank, said. He bowed low, and the rest of his companions followed.
We heard about what AJ and her friends did, and we all came here to ask for forgiveness. AJ's a good pony. She'd never try to hurt any pony. She don't deserve to be banished and all.
Please send her home, Your Highness!
A small yellow filly, who bowed right next to the red stallion, said. She was in tears as she spoke, and it was hard to make out the words between her sobs.
We all miss AJ. We'll do anything.
The rest of the ponies, all members of the Apple family, Luna realized, came forward and groveled before her. Many of them offered to take AJ's place. It didn't take much to understand that AJ meant Applejack. A pair of royal guards came flying towards the group.
There they are! One of them yelled. You ponies aren't allowed here!
As they approached, both of them bowed low before Luna.
We're very sorry, Your Highness. They broke through and ran here before we could stop them.
Luna raised a hoof to wave off the guards' apologies.
It's fine, she told them.
To the Apple family, she spoke with both reassurance and determination.
I cannot reverse my sister's edict, she told them. But rest assured, I am going to do something about it.
The hope she saw in the pony's eyes only reinforced Luna's determination. Something had to be done. Until her brother came to and did his part, she decided that she had to act on her own, no matter what the cost.